Welcome back into Tide Talk Live. Stacy Blackwood, joined as always by my good buddy Jake Thomas, to get you primed and ready for the Week 7 matchup between Alabama and Arkansas. The Crimson Tide are coming off that big road win over Texas A&M this last weekend, Jake. They've kind of took a stronghold in the SEC West and kind of looked to kind of build on that here in Week 7 against Arkansas. We're going to dive into that matchup here on today's episode. Jake, how you doing, man?
Doing good, buddy. And yeah, you're talking about Alabama taking the stranglehold on the SEC West. Like we've talked about, buddy, everything's still in front of this team. And that's what we're recording this on a Monday night. But Jalen Milroe today in his little press conference said that the team knows its goals are still ahead of them. So the team at least knows what the goal is. And I feel like the unity is getting there with this team.
Yeah, I feel like the pieces are kind of coming together for this Alabama team. And another thing he said was that they're not a finished product. And so they know there's still work to be done. There's stuff they need to clean up. Obviously, we'll talk about all that on tonight's episode. But before we get into all that, Jake, we do want to make sure you do like, share, and subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. We appreciate all the support. Thank you so much for those that are already subscribed. Mm-hmm. And those of you that are tuning in, it means a great deal to us. The support is unbelievable. We've had about 10,000 views in the past 7 days on our channel. So just been a real good week for us, and we appreciate all the support. And so if you haven't already, please do subscribe to our channel so you don't miss any of our stuff. And as you can see there, we are brought to you by BetUS and LaTorn Watches. We'll tell you more about those guys here in a moment. Jake, before we get into this Alabama-Arkansas matchup, is there anything you want to kind of clean up from the A&M game?
Yeah, there's something that I want to share here with you guys that I absolutely love, and let me get it worked up here. So this is our defense is, we're on the field, Max Johnson's getting the ball here. I just want, as much as a defensive front, we talked about how Freddie Roach needed to make a statement with the defensive line this year, because we felt like he was playing for his job and he was coaching for his job this year. Just let it play out. I mean, and it slows it down for you, but already you've got one lineman down here. You've got another offensive lineman tumbling here. You got Dallas Turner just wreaking havoc on this left tackle here. When was the last time you have seen a Alabama defensive front take down pretty much three out of their five linemen? We got one lineman here, don't even know who to block. that was one thing that, I'm like, okay, this team is different. And the other thing, and we're going to go back to this right here. It's got sound to it, so let me clean that. But look at that. Yeah. This was on that penalty. Boneheaded. I mean, it's a boneheaded play. Penalty or not, we've already talked about it. But look, that is a redshirt sophomore.
Accountability.
Yeah, a redshirt sophomore, guys, getting in the face of a leader of the team. And it's like, come on, man, what are you doing? We don't need that. We don't need that right now. We did not need that. And honestly, I mean, I want to say it was a big play, because it would have put us up by two scores, but it almost come back to haunt us in the long run. Good thing the offense was able to capitalize later on and get an extra touchdown. But, I mean, going up 14, there would have been huge, or 13 would have been huge, and we just had a mental lapse. And, accountability, man. I love seeing a redshirt sophomore getting in the face of a junior like that. And it's like, come on, man. Hold each other accountable.
The leadership definitely appears to be there this year, something that I feel like, especially on the field leadership, that's kind of in your face. I feel like that was maybe lacking the last couple seasons. That's not something that's lacking this year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, we've seen great leadership from Dallas Turner. You saw it there from Deontay Lawson. And so I'm with you, Jake. The accountability has been there. And I think that's why you're starting to see this team improve each and every week, Jake. And that first play you showed, I believe that was the play directly before the safety that occurred there against Max Johnson and the Aggies offense. So, yeah, that defensive front was completely – they owned the second half of that game, Jake. That was the difference in the game. I know Milroe had a fantastic game. Burton and Bond did too. But the defensive front for Alabama, I think they – I think since the Texas game, in the second half against opponents, I think the defense is allowing about 120 yards and about 3 points in the second half of the last four games. So just an incredible effort by Kevin Steele and those guys, and they've really made a tremendous stride in the right direction. And, you know, they just keep getting better and better each and every week. And it starts with that defensive front. You know, guys like Dallas Turner, Chris Braswell, Tim Keenan, Justin Boybe, Tim Smith, Jaheim Otis, all those guys are playing, you know, really the best football of their career, and it couldn't have come at a better time, because with the way the offense is slowly progressing, the defense needs to carry the team right now, and so far they're doing it.
Yeah, man. You know, like I mentioned a while ago, we really felt like the defensive line needed to step up this year, especially a couple guys. You know, we talked about Justin Aborgaby. We talked about Tim Smith. You know, Tim Smith has not really been a factor like we thought he would, but look what he's doing this year, man. I mean, he is having a career year, I feel like. Jaheim Otis is, you know, he had a really good freshman season, but he's done really well this year as well. And then Justin Aborgaby, he's been in this program for, you know, four or five years now. And he is just now, I feel like he showed flashes that we talked about. He is playing some of his best ball he's done in the last 5 years at Alabama. So, you know, give credit where credit's due. Freddie Roach has done an amazing job with this defensive front. And I really feel like I talked to some people about this today. I really feel like the schemes help our defensive front better this year than previous years have.
Well, as Yogi Berra famously said, half the game is 90% mental. And I think the mental side of it is just different. I think the intensity level's different. I think they play with just a different mindset, Jake. I really believe that this year under Kevin Steele. And I think Robert Ball has made a tremendous impact, especially with the inside linebackers. I'm not sure there's a better trio of inside linebackers than, you know, Deontay Lawson, Trez Marshall, and Jahad Campbell. I mean, those dudes. And then you throw in a guy like Kendrick Blackshire, when he's gotten to play, he's played really well. So I think Robert Ball has made a tremendous impact on this defense as well, and I don't want to overlook that. But the defense was the story of the day to me against A&M, even despite the performance that Milroe put together. Obviously, career day. He made the plays that were there. Burton got open. Bond got open. And they really exposed that secondary for A&M. And that's something they can build on moving forward in SEC play, because, you know, when you face teams like Tennessee, like LSU, you're going to have to score a little bit more than what you might have to against a team like A&M. But just a great job by that defense. Kevin Steele has those guys playing. And, you know, Caleb Downs gets a pick, his second pick of his career, and just continues to be a playmaker for this defense as a true freshman. So really proud of the way that defensive performance against A&M.
Yeah, I agree. And one other thing I want to mention real quick is when Malachi went down, I really feel like Terrion Arnold did really good stepping in the star. They kind of shifted him around and put Amos out there at corner where Arnold would be at. But I felt like I think he got beat one time, but he made a great play to get back into the route and not the ball away. But I don't know how long Malachi is going to be out, but, you know, we've got people all over the place in the secondary that can play. So I'm not too concerned. I just hate it for Malachi because he was, again, having kind of like a freshman type year that he had, you know, when he was a freshman in Alabama. He's just been all over the place this year.
Yeah, and like Jake mentioned a little bit ago, we are recording this on Monday night, so there's not been any real news on the status of Malachi Moore. So, you know, that is definitely something worth monitoring, because he's quite possibly the MVP of the Alabama defense. Yeah. I'm not saying he's the best player, but he might be the most valuable because of his experience, because all the calls he makes there in the back end and getting everybody else lined up. So his presence will be missed. But like you said, Terrion Arnold did a good job filling in at star. Mm-hmm. And then Trey Amos did a pretty solid job, you know, taking the place of Terrion Arnold. So it's just about next man up mentality. Oh, and everybody's got to be ready. So we'll kind of see what happens with the status of Malachi Moore moving forward. But, Jake, that's going to wrap up the A&M talk. And here in a minute, we're going to get to our keys to victory for the Arkansas game. But before we do that, we do got to go to break real quick, and we'll be back on the other side. All right, guys, I want to tell you a little bit about BetUS.com. Make sure you click the link in the description below, sign up today, and make that first deposit. And when you do, you will be instantly rewarded with a 125% bonus from BetUS.com. And then you will also be entered into our contest for a $500 giveaway once we receive 30 signups from our link. So click the link in the description below and sign up today at BetUS.com. All right, Jake. So we hope y'all follow the description there in the video below or in the description below for BetUS and sign up today and receive not only that 125% deposit from BetUS, but then be entered into the contest that we will have here once we have 30 signups from that link for a possible $500. I mean, you're not going to get that anywhere else. So appreciate that. All right, Jake, keys to victory for Alabama against Arkansas. You know, we could be cliche and kind of keep it like it always is each and every week. It starts up front on both sides of the ball, and it starts on the line of scrimmage. But Jake, I want to start here. It's going to be key for Alabama to slow down the inside running game of Arkansas. That's where Arkansas can beat you if they're going to beat you anywhere is with the massive KJ Jefferson as a running quarterback. Rocket Sanders is a really good running back. So they're a physical team, Jake. They have physical runners. So it's going to be key for guys like Tim Keenan, Justin Aboibi, Tim Smith, Jaheim Otis, those guys to play well in run support.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. That's how they can hurt you. And this Arkansas team is so funny because I really felt like if you go back and watch some of our previous episodes, I really thought I had a bold prediction on the SEC slate this year that I felt like they was going to finish second in the West this year. Well, they're, you know, I don't know what's gotten into them. Katie Jefferson is really good. Rocket Sanders is really good, but they just, I don't know. So things just have not shaped out like I'm assuming Razorback fans have thought either. So this is going to be interesting. I think Alabama opened up like an 18.5, 19.5 point favorite. You know, I think that's a little too high right now, but I mean, Alabama, if they play their game, they can win this easily. But KJ Jefferson is still a really talented quarterback. He just has some issues this year. And Rocket Sanders is probably one of the best in this league running the ball. So, and they still got playmakers on offense. So it's going to be very critical for, you know, the defense to play up to the way they have the last several weeks for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And you look at Arkansas's record, Jake, you know, they've beat two cupcakes but lost four games, Jake, and three of them they had a chance to win. I mean, aside from the A&M loss where they really wasn't in it, especially late in the second half, but last week against Ole Miss, they had a chance. They had a lead I think, either late third quarter, early fourth quarter in that game, but they blew it. They outgained BYU by nearly twice as many yards and blew it.
Yep. LSU,
they blew that in Baton Rouge. So,
yep.
They're close, Jake. It's not that they're a bad football team, but Jake, there is something to say about teams. You know, we talk about teams finding a way to win. Well, this Arkansas team just finds ways to lose. And, you know, it's not looking good for Sam Pittman right now. I like Sam Pittman. I think he's a good coach. But for whatever reason, they've just been finding ways to lose each and every week this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like Sam Pittman as well. But, you know, the head coach is always a fall guy. So, you know, unfortunately, I think some of the hires this year offensively weren't the best. So I think that's kind of hamstrung the team offensively. But he's going to be the fall guy, unfortunately. And like you said, I really like Sam Pittman as well.
Yeah, well, their offensive line has not been a strong suit this season, Jake. And that's rare for Arkansas. Usually they're pretty decent up front. And they just have not been that good. KJ Jefferson's constantly under duress. Mm-hmm. You know, Rocket Sanders doesn't have a lot of room to work with or navigate through. So it's been rough to get their two best players going because that offensive line has not really lived up to expectations there in Fayetteville. But Alabama's going to have their hands full, Jake, because Arkansas is going to come ready to play. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff on homecoming weekend. Alabama's coming off that big road win over A&M. They're on a high right now. So it wouldn't surprise me, I guess, if Alabama started off a little sluggish.
Right.
And Arkansas come in firing on all cylinders, you know, trying to pull off an incredible upset. So Alabama better come ready to play or they might be in a closer game than what they anticipated.
Yeah, absolutely, Stacey. You know, we talked about, I think I said it on our instant reaction show last week, I really feel like this team in the first half of games now just weathers that storm. And then in the second half, they come out and dominate. And I feel like if we can weather the early on, early kickoff, the emotion because it's going to be homecoming, all that, as long as we hold out until the second half, I really think the game's going to change for the better. But, it's all about, getting that getting the rust off and don't start out as slow as we normally have. I feel like the first series, we need to go out and at least get three instead of just having a three and out like we've seen, like we have the past couple games.
Yeah, speaking of which, you're talking about the offense, Jake, and mm-hmm. we'll kind of look at keys to victory for the Alabama offense. And they've got to establish some running game, Jake, and right. a consistent running game. And look, Arkansas is a decent team, Jake. They're not a great defensive team, but they're decent. So Alabama needs to come out and dominate the trenches offensively. Need to get guys like Jace and Roydell, even Justice Haynes going in the running game. Maybe feature some more runs for Jalen Milroe if that's something they want to do. They need to establish some sort of running game. And, there's no better week to do that than this week because it's the next opponent. It's against an Arkansas team that's not elite defensively like A&M was. So Getting a ground game going on a consistent basis will be huge for Alabama.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. I feel like the way this offense is set up, we should be running the ball a lot better, and we haven't really established the run well in a lot of games here recently. So, I feel like getting the ground game going, like you mentioned, is going to be a huge key to victory. And also just helps out Milroe get adjusted into the game as well. I feel like each and every week this team is getting better. I know last week the offensive line really struggled, run protecting and all that, run blocking. But pass blocking, I really, really showed out, and I was really happy with how they handled that. So, it needs to be just continued, getting better offensively each and every week, and this team's going to be fine.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the running game is going to be key for Alabama moving forward throughout the season because, like I said, when you play teams like – I don't know if it's going to be that critical this week against a team like Arkansas, but when you play Tennessee, when you play LSU, teams who have good offenses, you're going to have to score some points, Jake. So you got to be balanced on offense. You can't just rely on Milroe's arm. You can't expect him to come out and throw for 300 something yards every game.
Right.
So you have to establish some sort of running game. And so it's up to that offensive line and those running backs to get going, because I think it's easy to point to the offensive line as the reason the running game's not going. But Jack, I think there's been plays to be made
right
for the running backs. And maybe sometimes they're not doing what they need to do. So, I think the offensive line has been a little bit better than what most people realize. And I think if people went back and watched the games, that they would kind of see that as well, because it's easier to see that on a second or third watch than what it is live when you don't know the outcome of the game. So you're nervous, you're anxious, and you see the back get tackled at line of scrimmage. Well, was it because the guys didn't block well, or because he didn't read the right hold? Yeah. He didn't make the right cut.
Right.
So there's a lot of variables there when it goes to establishing a good running game. And so it's a team effort. And so the offensive line's got to block, and the backs have got to hit the right hole at the right time and make the right cuts as well.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. And I feel like it's slowly going to get there. The offense is going to help each other out. And just each and every week, somebody has improved on either on the offensive line or in the wide receiver room. I feel like we finally established our number one wide receiver now with Jermaine Burton. Really his only case is just keeping it, mental and run that mouth, that's going to get him eventually too. So, hopefully that, we can keep him corralled on that. But, like you said, he had a really great game last week. I feel like this team is getting better each and every week. If you honestly sit here and watch and go back and watch the games, you see the improvements that the team has made offensively since the very first game of the season.
No doubt about it. All right, Jack, let's switch over now to players to watch. I want to start on the defensive side of the ball, Jake, for Alabama. Who are you looking at this week as somebody who needs to either make a big impact or could make a big impact for the Crimson Tide?
Defensively, I think I'm looking at a guy like Caleb Downs having another big game. I feel like the secondary is going to have another chance to have a big day. An X factor, I will go with, Lawson or Campbell, because I feel like we may need to spy a little bit more as well with KJ, because he likes to run a little bit as well, just to keep him in check. So my first guy is going to be Caleb Downs. I really feel like he's going to get another pick this week to possibly seal the game for us.
Yeah, players to watch, I'm looking at the entire defensive front because of the way they're going to have to rush KJ. And not only rush him, but if they get to him, they're going to have to try to bring that big dude down.
He's a hoss.
He's a hoss, and he doesn't go down easy. So I think Chris Braswell, Dallas Turner, those guys on the edge have to do a good job of setting the edge and not letting him get outside of you. And then once you collapse that pocket, you got to get him down. You don't want to see a bunch of near sacks where he breaks away and picks up a first down on 3rd and 8. If you get to him, you got to get him down. So I'm looking at those edge players for Alabama, once again, having a big day and coming up big and getting some sacks. And I think right now Dallas Turner's 3rd in the country in sacks. I think, Braswell's in the top 10 as well. I think Dallas Turner has 6.5. I think Braswell has 4.5 or 5. So, they both have fantastic seasons right now. So those guys getting to Jefferson, and not only getting to Jefferson, but getting that big dude down. I'm watching those two guys and seeing if they can do that. And obviously the interior players as well, they're going to have to do the same thing. But, you feel better about guys as big as Jaheim Otis and Tim Keenan. If they get their hands on you, then you're most likely going down. But, Braswell and Turner, they're around the same weight as KJ Jefferson. So it won't be quite as easy for those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good pick, Stacey. I'm anxious to see how the defensive line continues to develop it and just get better. I've noticed a lot here in the last several games is teams have been trying to do what they call the slant and, slant blocking. And I've noticed that Tim Keenan has done an excellent job on that because, he just follows his guy, gets off, and then he spins back around, and he's usually right there where the ball carrier is at. So I feel like the defensive line is getting better and getting and seeing those slants come and find their opening just at the right time to make a play in the backfield.
Yeah, no doubt. The defensive line has been – I think they've been what the difference is for this defense so far. So
I agree.
That front seven's got to play well. So really, as players to watch defensively, to me, it's about that front seven. The front seven playing physical, stuffing the run, and then on passing situations, not allowing KJ Jefferson to break the pocket or break a bunch of tackles to make explosive plays that way. So if you get to him, you got to get him down. So I'm watching that defensive front there for the Crimson Tide. All right, Jake, offensively. This is where everybody likes to see. They like to see the points. They like to see the high flying action. Who are you looking at this week offensively to maybe break out or have a big game against Arkansas?
It's easy to go a skill guy because they're the ones making plays. But I'm going to look at a guy. I do not know if he's going to play this week. He played last week, and I was really impressed with him. But I got my eye on Jaden Roberts if he gets in and on the offensive line. I feel like, being his first career start, he did a really good job at right guard in place of Dalcourt. I wasn't sure if Dalcourt was hurt or what, but I really felt like he did well. So I feel like we have a 6th and 7th guy now because we know what Pritchett has been – kind of reversing back and forth with Caden Proctor, but I feel like Roberts is coming on to be another guy with Terrence Ferguson and Pritchett that can come in off the bench if somebody goes down. So I'm really excited to see him step up last week. And I got my eye on him just in case he does get in the game. I feel like he's going to he's a big bulldozer, I feel like, and can open up some holes in the running game.
Yeah, he wasn't perfect by any stretch, but given the fact, and by the way, Dalcourt missed the game because he had some shoulder issues in the pregame. So Roberts didn't even practice all week as the starter.
Right.
It was literally game day, and he's like, "Hey," and they're like, "Hey, you got to start," because Ferguson's already been hurt, so he wasn't available. I'm not even sure he made the trip. No, he did make the trip. But So you're down to your third string guard,
right?
Against the best defensive front you're going to face all season.
and I thought he did good.
It was a tall order and a big ask, but Roberts held his own against Texas A&M. And I'm with you. If he gets to play, I'll obviously have a big eye on him. You know, I mentioned Seth as my guy last week. I thought he played okay. It wasn't great, but it was probably his best performance of the season. Not sure how he graded out, but I thought he played better on a more consistent basis than what he had all season long. But I'm looking at a guy that he had a big week this week, and I want to see him followed up again, and that's Jermaine Burton, Jake. I'm not saying he's got to go for 197 again and three touchdowns or two touchdowns, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But I want to see him be a consistent playmaker. Get five or six more grabs for, you know, 90 to 120 yards and maybe a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But just be that consistent wide receiver one option for Jalen Milroe. Mm-hmm. Get open, make plays, and like you said, quit running that mouth and just – play football. That's what we need Jermaine Burton to be, Jake. He's a really good player, and you saw what type of player he can be last week against Texas A&M, and I hope he can follow that up with another solid performance against Arkansas, because if Milroe can develop that chemistry with Burton, we know what Bond is. Bond's going to get open deep because you can't keep up with him.
Yeah.
And then, but what makes it easier for Bond to get open is if, you know, you got him in the slot on one side, and if you got Jermaine Burton in the boundary one-on-one with a corner, they're going to have to play a safety deep over the top because Burton's going to burn that corner one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
What that's going to do is, you're going to have matchup nightmares in the back end with guys like Isaiah Bond, Kobe Prentice, Jalen Hale, Malik Benson once he gets rolling, Jaquir Brooks if he ever gets to play again. So, I just want to see Burton step up, be that true number one guy, and be a consistent player for Alabama at wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree, Says. I love that pick. You know, we have talked about how Burton is no doubt our best route runner. And like you said, if you got Isaiah Bond on one side in the slot, you know, a lot of eyes and attention going to be on him because, you know, of his speed. But if you got Burton on the opposite side, they're going to have to keep an eye on him as well because he can burn, like you said, that corner and leave him out, you know, leave the safety out on an island by himself. And Burton's going to win that 10 out of 10 times. So, I really like that pick. And I feel like he's going to be a guy that's going to continue being that number one option for Jalen Milroe moving forward.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to take one more quick break. Then we're going to get to our bowl predictions and our score predictions for Alabama, Arkansas. So stick around. We'll be right back. All right, I want to tell you a little bit about LaTorn Watches. If you click the link in the description below, you're going to be carried to latornwatches.com where they have a vast selection of stylish yet affordable watches for all shapes and sizes. And when you click that link in the description below and you get carried to that website, when you sign out, you will receive free shipping on that watch. So make sure you follow the link in the description below and buy you a beautiful watch from LaTorn Watches. All right, Jake, we're back now. Bowl prediction time, one of our favorite subjects each and every week. Bowl predictions are fun because you predict something that's not very likely to happen. I don't even remember what mine was last week. I think it was that Alabama would win by double digits, and they should have, if not for the officials, but we won't get into that. I forget what yours was from last week against A&M. We need to start keeping some kind of record of this so we can go back and see how well we're performing on our bowl predictions. But this is always fun. Love bowl predictions. Kind of a fun topic to discuss each and every week. So Jake, what hit me with your bowl prediction for Alabama, Arkansas?
I think my bowl prediction is collectively Alabama is going to have at least 200 yards rushing on the game. You know, whether that be,
I stole it.
Yeah. I really think, McClellan, Roydale, some of them guys are going to get some holes. I feel like Milroe may have maybe 50 to 60 on the ground, and these guys are going to get at least 200 as a team rushing yards this week. It's really going to open up the offense.
Well, since you have completely stolen my thunder, I've got to think of something else on the fly, and I'm going to go with Milroe has 250 yards passing. And at least 75 yards rushing.
Nice. Love it.
And he's obviously the MVP of the game if he does that.
Right, yeah.
So I'm going with another big day for Milroe. I think he could have some success both with his legs and through the air. So excited to see what he can do there. Any bold predictions defensively for Alabama?
I'm going to say we get at least, I'm going to say 5 sacks this week.
Ooh. What would that be like, 3 or 4 straight games with 5 sacks?
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time you said that about Alabama? Was, you know, defensive front or defensive seven having 5 sacks and 3
straight
games.
Right now Alabama's 3rd in the country in sacks for a team. So,
yeah,
they're getting after the quarterback right now. So
we've got 14 sacks on the road, which is leads the entire college football.
14 on the road. That's in 3 games, right? South Florida, yeah. Mississippi mm-hmm. State, and A&M.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's ridiculous.
That's amazing, dude. I mean,
wow. That's really not that bold considering what's been going on.
Yeah, that's true.
What would have been bold is you said they get double digits.
10? <Ten? laughs> Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. My bold prediction, Jake, is Alabama defensively records a non-offensive touchdown.
Mm-hmm. A not.
Yep. And I guess that – but nobody punts to Kool-Aid anymore, so he ain't going to get no punt return. They don't even punt it to him. They punt it out of bounds.
They punt it away from him, and he runs up to it and lets them hit him in the hands and fumble it.
Kool-Aid. I'd rather him just punt it out of bounds.
Yeah, for real, please.
That's one less anxious moment throughout the game.
Oh, yeah. My heart can't take many more, I don't think.
No, I'm rough. But, All right, score prediction time, Jake, before we head out. And by the way, guys, in the comment section, we want to hear from you guys. Give us your keys to victory. Give us your players to watch. Give us your bold predictions and your score predictions. We want to see what you guys think as well. And we love to interact with you guys there in the comment section as well. Even some of the negativity that we get, we like to interact with those people as well. So if you're an Arkansas fan or a fan of another team, jump in there as well. And we noticed during our watch party, there was a lot of Jalen hate going on. Mm-hmm. Look, you're obviously free to have your opinion on Jalen Milroe.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't talk about all the stuff he does wrong without talking about all the stuff he does right.
Right.
So you can't be like that.
He's got one of the prettiest deep ball passes I've seen. I mean, it's on the dime every single time.
Well, all I know, Jake, is if Milroe plays like he did Saturday each and every week.
Oh, my gosh. This team ain't going to lose a game.
They won't lose, Jake. I mean, okay. There's two ifs. If Milroe can play like that, and if Alabama don't have 9 pre-snap penalties, then they can beat anybody anywhere at any time.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, score prediction time. Hit me, Jake.
I am going to say Alabama finally gets a 40 burger up on the board and say 42 to, let's see, it's a 19.5 point spread. I'm going to say 42 to 16.
42 to 16. I like that score. I want them to get in the 40s so bad.
I know.
And they may do it. And you might be right, Jake. They may get to the 40s this week, but they haven't done it a lot. So I hate to go that high, but I'm real close to you. I'm going to say 38 to 13 Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I think the offense puts up 31. The defense gets another 7. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't surprise me if they got to 40, but just kind of staying on the safe side and saying they get. No, just right under 40 points to win this game, 38-13. Milroe has a really big game for Alabama once again. Continues to build week in, week out, becoming the player that we all hoped he could be. And the truth is, he's still got a long way to go. That's both a positive and there's two ways to look at that. It's a positive and a negative.
Right.
Yeah, he's not as good as he can be. But, man, he's not as good as he can be. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
There's two ways of saying that, and they're both equally true.
Yeah, and he knows it too, because the way he talks and the way he handles himself, he knows that he's got to get better. If the team wants to complete its goals, he's got to be at his absolute best. And I feel like he's an unproven product still, and we're seeing flashes of what he can be. But if it all goes off, and of course it's a big if, but if it all goes off, my gosh,
I want to make a quick comment regarding Milroe. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks about the interceptions with Milroe. Mm-hmm. Does he throw a little bit too many than what he probably should? Maybe. I think he's got 4 on the year right now.
Mm-hmm.
four through six games, I can live with that. Right. I mean, that means eight for the season.
Yeah, and two of them were against Texas. You know, that's the only.
Yeah,
time,
I mean, so you know, like I can live if he, I can live with anything less than 10 in a 12 game season.
Me too.
But what he can't do and what he has to get out of is taking unnecessary sacks.
Yes.
Throw the dang ball away.
Yeah, because
we already get behind the chains enough with pre-snap penalties. We don't need sack yards added on to that.
I know. And I agree with some of the people that have talked about that. His health goes in the situation as well. If he goes down, you know, what do we have behind him? You know, we've seen flashes of, and I really think Ty Simpson is going to be a really good quarterback. Just needs playing time, kind of like Milrow did. But at this point, Milrow, I mean, if he goes down, you know, this team is going to have to run the ball a lot.
Yeah, we're not 5-1 right now without Jalen Milrow.
Right.
And if you can't see that, then I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. So I agree.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up our show today. Thank you guys so much for watching. Please do like, share, and subscribe to our channel. And like I mentioned, jump in the comments and go through today's lineup there on your screen and give us your thoughts and opinions on all that as well. But that's going to do it. Thank you so much for watching. Oh, go ahead, Jake. You got something to say?
I was yawning.
And go. Oh. he's ready to go to bed. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back real soon. Obviously, you'll catch us again on the Bleacher Report app on Saturday afternoon following the conclusion of Alabama-Arkansas. So we'll see you then. Until next time, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. Right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.